Hey, I'm glad you're back. Today I'm talking about an aspect of classroom management, the idea of how to start your class, how to get the kids' attention, how to be consistent about it, and I explain my 5 steps to starting your class right. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Hey, one of the greatest favors you can do for yourself as a classroom teacher is to learn to get the kids' attention. Sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Most definitely. But it's not. Let me be clear, you shouldn't be yelling, threatening, or exclaiming to the world that you have had enough. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Didn't you ever get in trouble with your parents and, one of them announced to the world, Steve Robert! You know, I knew I was in trouble when my full name was used immediately after my first. It was never good news when I heard, Steven Robert, I have had enough! Ouch. Think quick. Yeah, I'm going, what did I do or maybe not do? In my case, it was usually the latter because I didn't really get into trouble. No, really. You believe me, don't you? Anyway, the problem is that the first time you start class, the kids might give you a nod or a bye or a that's okay for today. But once you get beyond that first day, you're pushing your luck. Kids like to know that you have a procedure for getting their attention and a way for starting class. No matter what their age or grade, you are asking for difficulty or really a whole lot of trouble if you just wing it. Yeah. Hear that? No, really, listen. You don't hear that? Well, I do. It's the sound of a train getting ready to run you over. Ah! You know, you have to know how you will get their attention. Tell them, do it, and practice it. So today I'm talking about my 5 steps to starting class right. Number 1, know what you are going to do. Number 2, explain it to your kids. Number 3, practice. Number 4, do it again. And number 5, revisit. I'm focused on helping you learn how to get the kids' attention at the beginning of your class today and throughout the lesson. So let's make sure that we don't confuse this with, using bell ringers or warm-ups, because that's not what I'm talking about. That's a whole nother topic for another time. For now, let's focus on how you get them to know that you're ready to begin. Have you ever watched a band perform? Whether a concert band, symphony, orchestra, or marching band. If you think back to the performance, I'll bet that you might remember that there was a way that the conductor told the musicians that he was ready to begin. Come on, I know it sounds simple enough, but did you pay attention to what happened? By the way, if you ever heard a marching band, surely you've heard a drum major blow a whistle. Let's think about what you might see with a symphony. There's not a conductor. He's not right there in the front. He's standing to the side, or maybe he's you know, behind the curtains, and you know, he's looking at notes or something. The musicians are warming up. Blowing air through their horns. Plucking strings. Bing, bing, bing. Playing a few notes or two. Bing, boo, ba, ba, boo, ba. Then the conductor walks to the podium. As he approaches the podium, the noises begin to cease. He steps on the podium. No noise. It's gone. Now all instruments are either in laps or resting on the floor. There's an air of expectation in the whole auditorium. The conductor smiles at the group, then raises his arms and the baton. All instruments are now lifted to the playing position. Everyone is quiet, including the audience. Of course, usually it's about this time that a baby cries. The conductor stabs the air and drives the opening of the first arrangement. Something like this. How did the musicians learn this? As a trumpet player, I can tell you that it is now part of my genetic code. No, really. I've performed many different songs with many different conductors, and what they all have in common is that they teach you that this is how they want you to do when they want you to do it. They teach you this. All of them. And most of them, it's very similar. To make sure that you understand, what I'm talking about is, as a trumpet player, as a musician, they show you, they practice, and they do it again. On another day, they will revisit. And if there seems to be some issue recalling what should be done, they do it again. Bands would be a mess if there was no attempt at teaching the musicians how the conductor started and stopped and began again. Think about the chaos with many, many potential noisemakers. I mean, think about it. If you have over 300 instruments up there, that's 300 potential noisemakers, man. It has the potential to be a huge mental challenge if the kids are never taught. Think about a marching band. The drum major may be trying to keep over 300 instruments together and in time and focused while moving here and there and everywhere across the field. So the drum major and band director teach the players what to do and practice it. Think about everything else in our world that requires this. Well, let's go back to you as a classroom teacher. You have to know what you are going to do to get the kids' attention. You have to tell them. You have to practice it and do it again and again if necessary. So here are my 5 steps to starting class right. Number 1, know what you are going to do. Number 2, explain it to your kids. Number 3, practice. Number 4, do it again. And number 5, revisit. So let's talk about number 1. Know what you are going to do. This is my favorite. You know, you've got to decide what you'll do. Will you stand in one place and look at all of them? Will you raise your hand and wait for them to all get quiet? Will you use a special clap and respond? Will you say, "I'm ready to start"? Or will you just shh them and say, "Class, class, get quiet, class"? That's not the way to do it right there. So let's try a hand at my favorite, which is you show them your spot for starting class. This is where I will stand and I will look at you. Once again, this is my all-time favorite. You say, you decide where in the class you'll stand, and you tell them, "This is where I will stand. I will come to here when I am ready to start class." And by the way, I also do this when I'm ready to end class. I will look at you, but I will not say anything. And then number 2 is I explain it to them, all right? So I say, "This is where I will stand and I will look at you, but I will not say get quiet. I will not shush you. I will wait for you to get quiet." Everyone get quiet. So number 1, I got to decide, which is, this is my spot and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at them and be quiet. And I'm going to expect them to get quiet. So then number 2 is I explain it to them. When I stand here, I will not say get quiet. I will not shush you. I will wait for you to get quiet. Every one of you. Then it's time to practice. After you tell them, you walk away from the spot and then come back and look at them and wait. They didn't do it fast enough. So leave your spot. Tell them, go on. Talk. You know, go do whatever you were doing. And now we're going to do it again. And again. Which leads to number 4, which is number 4 is do it again. Not just one time on one day. Take the first 10 days of class, at least 5, to make sure that you practice at the beginning of class and at the end. Because not only should you start class this way, you should stop class this way. You should, in the middle of the class, get their attention this way. However you figure it out, the more you use it as a tool, the better they get used to it. And it becomes part of what they do. It becomes part of their genetic code. So, I mean, let's think about this for a while. You know, something to remember is that if you don't do it, if you talk while you are trying to get their attention, if you let someone talk when they are supposed to be quiet, if you let some of them get away with not focusing on you, you'll get run over by that train. That train that has, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter," painted all over the front of it. Let me make sure you understood that. Something to remember is that if you don't do it, if you talk while you are trying to get their attention, in other words, you're saying, "I'm standing in the front of the room. Oh, by the way, last night's homework, everybody, you need to be quiet. And last night's homework, we needed to, hey, I'm standing in the front of the room." "Yeah, but you're not doing what you said you were going to do. Therefore, it must not be the time to start. You're talking while you're standing in the front of the room." That doesn't work. See what I mean? You're going to get run over by that train that says, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter," all over the front of it. When you get good at starting class, you can use this tool throughout your lessons. You can have one of the noisiest lessons ever and still be successful with getting their attention and getting them quiet. Just follow the 5 steps. Know what you are going to do, explain it to your kids, practice, do it again, and revisit. At the end of the notes, I'll share some additional resources for you, some links to some resources. Well, let me now kind of talk to you a little bit about some of different ways that teachers get kids' attention. One of my all-time favorites is the teacher who says, "Deer antlers!" And as soon as she says that, every kid's hand goes above their heads and they wave their fingers. The kids can't touch anything and they get quiet and they all know what a deer with antlers looks like. She teaches kindergartners and first graders. It's pretty cool. I mean, she does that and it's so cool. The kids do that. They like making the little deer antlers above their heads. And guess what? They don't talk. They know not to talk. They practice it. And she teaches them this. And this is how she gets their attention. Another favorite is countdown. The teacher says, 1, 2, and the class finishes with 3, 4, and 5. Then they are quiet, in their seats and looking at the teacher. The teacher doesn't say 3, 4, and 5. She teaches them that I say 1, 2, and you say 3, 4, and 5. And at 5, you should be in your seats, quiet, and looking at me. That's a pretty cool one. Now, if you use clapping, make sure that it is a fun kind of game, like clap 2 times, and they clap 3 times. Make sure that it is not an annoying clap that actually seems like you're clapping at them. Okay, I know, hard to envision, but think about how you might clap to get a dog's attention or to try to get a cat to jump down off the dinner table. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's a difference between and get off that table now. You know, don't use clapping in that manner. You don't want them to think that you're treating them like, you know, their house pet or something. That won't work because you're going to get some kids mad, all right? You want to do it in a fun manner. All right. Well, another favorite is, you know, that special carpeted area. I love this. Elementary school teachers do this wonderfully, and I've even seen it in other levels. You know, sometimes at high school level, they may not have carpet, but they have special chairs that aren't the desks. They have a seating area that maybe has a little love seat and a part of a couch or some bean bags or something, and that's where they go. But the special carpeted area, you know, maybe it's bright neon green or red or different colored squares, or maybe you found some awesome piece of shag that was removed from a 1970s house, dude. You know, it's groovy, man. It's fluffy, and it's that awesome turquoise or olive green. You stand in front of the carpet. The kids come to the carpet. Some of the teachers even assign a special spot, by the way. The squares are great for this. In class, the same way, they come to the carpet. So once again, you know, you create this carpet, you make this carpet, you put it in this, some place in the room, and you say, "This is where I start." And what I do is I come stand in front of it, and then as soon as you see me stand in front of it in my special place, everyone's expected to come find their place on the carpet. With the ones with the squares, you could even assign them one of the squares. But I mean, have fun with that, man. The kids will love it, and they'll get used to it. This is how you start, and this is how you stop class. If I need to get your attention about some special instructions, tell them that too. So whenever they see you stand at that carpet, now don't screw up here, and don't go over and stand at that carpet, and oops, and they all come running. Yes, what? Sorry, forgot to, I stood in the wrong place. I love the special carpet. That's so cool. So do you have some ideas about how to start class? I'll bet you do. If the school year has started, it's okay. You can always do a do-over. Just revisit the 5 steps. Number 1, know what you are going to do. Number 2, explain it to your kids. Number 3, practice. Number 4, do it again. Number 5, revisit. Teach yourself what you will do, and then start over on a Monday. A Monday is always a new day and a new week, and a new week is the best time to start over. But doing it, practicing, and doing it again is oh so important. Be consistent. You can do it. Just remember the 5 steps. Number 1, know what your kids are going to do. Number 2, explain it to your kids. Number 3, practice. Number 4, do it again. Number 5, revisit.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes Store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.